For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. Okay, so tonight, by the way, the halacha segment we've been doing, I originally was planning on choosing exotic topics in halacha, and what you've noticed that I have done instead is really practical everyday stuff, just clarifying things which you probably know a lot about already, but hopefully just clarifying them and going over them. So this is a non-Shabbos topic. We've been doing a lot of Shabbos topics. This is a non-Shabbos topic. This was inspired by the phone call I got from my cousin. I have a cousin up in New York who had a baby boy last week. Bris was just Monday, yesterday, first child to be named for my grandfather. Rivki happened to be there. She was up in New York in a conference. She was actually at the Bris. It was very nice. So my cousin called me on Sunday, frantic. It was probably on before Shabbos. Must have been on Friday. His wife was still in the hospital, or just coming back, and he had been in charge of the three other kids, of dinner while she was away. So he did the most logical thing, opened up the freezer, took out the pizza wheels, threw them into the oven, pulls them out, and then discovers, when he tells his wife what he fed the kids for dinner, that the oven was Schlesinger's. So he calls me, and she's like, you fix the problem, make sure that when I come home, that oven is good to go. So he says, what are you, I just baked my pizza ovens in the Schlesinger oven, what's the status, what are you going to do, what happens? So I figured, all right, we'll go through the situation just so we can clarify lots of different areas which apply to using our ovens. Okay, number one, ovens. There's a lot of stuff here, but because you're probably familiar with most of this, we can get through a lot of it quickly and just clarify the issue. Ovens are fundamentally different than pots. Now, this is a Dover Poshet, but it gets so confusing dealing in the kitchen, so it's worth clarifying. Pots, which is what we normally talk about, pots, the food actually is in the pot. So when you cook up your meatballs and spaghetti in your pot, the taste of the meatballs actually absorbs into the pot. So when you cook something subsequent to that, the taste is going to come out of the pot directly into your food that you are cooking, which creates all sorts of problems and lots of interesting halachas, which we're not talking about tonight. But that's because the same pot is now literally having taste absorbed directly into it, and then it comes directly back out into the next food. When we deal with ovens, we're just fundamentally dealing with a much lighter, lenient issue, because food never touches anything. We do not cook in our ovens today by putting anything directly on the racks. Very rarely, every once in a while, but it's rare. It's usually in a tin, it's in a pot, it's in something. So that the oven itself never comes into contact directly with meat or milk. It just doesn't. It's always something in a pot. Which means that it's always going to have a less stringent approach than the pot itself because of that. And there are really only two issues that we would have to deal with. One is known as reicha, which is loosely translated as an aroma, which is an issue, which is really only dealt with when you're cooking two things simultaneously at the exact same time. You have a meat dish and a milk dish at the same time. So the halacha deals with, does the reicha that's produced from one impact the other? We rarely do that as well, so we're not going to spend much time on that. But if you actually cooked two things together at the same time, that becomes an issue. What we really deal with ovens is what's known as zeya, or the steam. Which means, again, the food is not coming into contact with anything in the oven. So really everything should be fine. There's nothing to talk about. As much as we like to call fleishik ovens and milchik ovens.
What do you mean by the oven?
So we'll talk about it. I mean, so that's the thing. That's a question. That's how the question comes in. And as I have a fleishik oven and a milchik oven. People have two ovens. So you say, why have two ovens? One's fleishik and one's milchik. So we'll talk about what that means. Yeah, in a second. We will get to that. So the issue that we deal with in an oven is what's known as zeya. So Chazal deal with it. It's a machlokas in the poskim whether or not it's on a daraisa level or a darabana level, that the steam which comes out of a food is actually treated like the food itself. Meaning one could have scientifically said the steam that's coming out is just evaporated water, and it's really nothing. But we don't deal with it like that. We deal with it if it's steam coming off of a steaming hot pizza, or a lasagna, or meatballs and spaghetti, or a roast, whatever it may be, the steam that's coming out is going to be treated literally like the food itself. And that can create problems. It can create problems if you're cooking things on top of another, one on top of another. But again, the more common issue that we deal with is where things are subsequent. The issue is that the steam would absorb into the roof of your pot. Let's say we're cooking meatballs and spaghetti and it's uncovered.
So you use it on a stovetop. You're cooking a roast, whatever it may be. There's a lot of gravy or juice in the bottom of your roast, so the steam comes up. It's going to absorb into the top of your oven, imparting fleishik tam into your oven. And then, either then, on the spot, or subsequently, can condense into the droplets of liquid and fall back down into whatever is being cooked. So if all you have is your roast, there's no problem. The steam goes up, the steam comes back down. The problem is, if you cook 2 hours later a lasagna in your oven, and then lasagna gives off all that steam, so that steam goes up, absorbs into the top, mixes together with your meat tam that had gone in there from the roast, and then it falls back down into the lasagna, and now you have yourself a problem. That's our concern with steam. In order to have that concern, there has to be a significant amount of steam. It has to be heavy, and it has to be visible as far as actually seeing that there is steam coming out. And then there, that's what creates our issue into the top of your oven, which might then subsequently condense and fall back down. Which creates our general oven procedures as follows. And let us see. We determine the standard use. So most people, it doesn't matter what most people do, let's call it a meat oven. You determine that I'm going to use a meat oven. What that allows you to do is now when you're cooking meat dishes, you do whatever you want to do. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one important point. Let me go back to the most important point, and that is liquids emit steam, and we generally assume that solids do not. Unless you see that it does, or you know that it does, there's no reason to assume that most solid foods, for example, a challah or a cake, do not emit a significant enough amount of steam for us to be concerned with, and therefore we would not have to be concerned with that. Liquids, yes, most solids, no, but some solids do. If you see that it does, then you're concerned with it. But and that's sometimes an issue, but a lot of the basic challah cakes generally do not and are not considered a problem. Which means as follows. Let's say you determine your standard use of your oven. You're going to make it into a meat oven. So now, since you're determining this to be a meat oven, so you cook your meat dishes freely without having to worry about it. You want to cook them open, you want to cook them covered. It doesn't make a difference because this is a meat oven. And I'm just basically calling it a meat oven, which allows me to cook meat stuff in here without having to worry about if it's opened or if it is covered, because it doesn't make a difference. What about cooking other types of food? In our case, assuming our case is a meat oven, cooking milchic items in your meat oven. So if it's a liquidy type of steam emitting food, so they don't have to be covered. Because of the fact that this is a meat oven, we assume therefore there's tons of meat absorbed taste on the top of your oven from all of the meat steam emitting foods that have been cooked in there previously. So a milchic thing would have to be covered with a lid, with foil, whatever it may be, to make sure that it's not letting steam out, and then steam won't absorb and then fall back in. That's what we're trying to avoid. So covering milk would be okay. There are two ways around this, again, because ovens are so much more lenient than pots. There are two technical ways around this, which are not recommended, but they're technically okay, which are important, especially when we get to power foods, but it's also in a bidyevit situation, are important to realize. Those two technically okay but not recommended items are as follows. Number one, baking a solid food dish uncovered would be fine. I have my meat oven, I cook meat in there, uncovered all the time, there's plenty of meat steam which goes up. Yeah.
Meat oven, assuming that it's not dirty.
Right, that's what we'll get to in a second. Assuming that it's not dirty. Assuming that it's not dirty, that it's generally pretty clean. Technically speaking, in such a situation in which the oven were generally clean, you can cook a solid milchic item uncovered without any problem in the same oven. You think, like, why am I allowed to do that? Well, why wouldn't you be allowed to do that? The foods are not coming into contact with anything of the same. They're always in a separate tin or a separate pot, so they don't absorb from the racks. The only thing they would absorb would be through, there's no reich, there's no aroma, because they're not being cooked simultaneously. The only thing would be the steam. But in order for there to be a problem with the steam, is the food you're cooking now would have to emit steam, which would go up, condense, and then fall back down. I'm not cooking a food item that actually produces steam. So technically speaking, again, technically there would be no problem cooking, after cooking meat products in an oven, cooking a milk, solid, non-steam emitting food in that oven right afterwards. The reason why that's technically okay and not recommended is because, A, it's not so simple to always know whether or not the food you're cooking does or doesn't emit steam. On a l'chatchila level, to say that I'm going to do this l'chatchila, you'd have to know for sure that it doesn't. So some foods, we know that. But a lot of foods, especially milchic foods, which have cheeses or other things in it that melt, it's not so simple to be able to know for sure that what you're cooking is a non
steam, meaning food, and therefore it's certainly not recommended. But we'll get to why I even mentioned this in a second, but technically it would be okay. I know that the food that I'm cooking doesn't emit steam. I'd be allowed to put it even in my established fleishig oven, because what I'm cooking, which is mukhik, doesn't give off any type of steam. The other technical situation, which is a little bit more practical, is simply waiting 24 hours. Now, why does that work? Because the Torah holds that after 24 hours, any taste that's absorbed into a pot loses its potency. It's simply not there anymore as far as the halacha is concerned. So you can cook meatballs and spaghetti in a pot. Technically speaking, al pi din Torah, you wait 24 hours, and you can cook your macaroni and cheese in that exact same pot. What happened to the meat taste that went into the pot? After 24 hours, it's totally dissipated. It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh,
that's mi din Torah. Midr Abanan, Chazal and the Gemara already said that's not going to work for us because everyone's going to get confused. The pot was used within 24 hours, the pot wasn't used 24 hours. So Chazal would go there on all milchik pots not to use it for fleishiks, and on all fleishik pots not to use it for milchiks. And this is why we have two sets of dishes. It is simply because of that Dindra Abanan. If there would be no such Dindra Abanan, we would all have two or three pots in our kitchen, and we would simply put a little mark on it what time was the last time we used it. And 24 hours after its last use, you could use it for whatever you want. It becomes parv. But because we know we can't even remember what we ate for lunch by the time supper rolls around, there's no way we're going to keep track of when the last time this pot was used and for what. So Chazal said, no way, we're not dealing with that at all. This is a milchik pot. It'll always be a milchik pot. This is a fleishik pot. Always a fleishik pot. And that's the end of the story. But that is a dinder abanan. It's a dinder abanan that was gozer on kelim, on our utensils. An oven doesn't have a status of a kli. An oven is different than an actual kli. An oven is mechuber lakarka. It's considered part of the kitchen in most situations. Maybe some of those old standalone ovens wouldn't be like that. Rabbi Yaakov held that an oven does not have the status of a kli, and therefore the din d'rabbanan of not being able to wait 24 hours wouldn't apply to an oven. So that after 24 hours, the steam which went up, assuming the steam was there, and the roast was very steamy, and the tam is now absorbed into the roof of your oven, well, 24 hours later, it doesn't exist anymore. So why couldn't I cook mochiks in there? Well, the only reason you say you couldn't cook mochiks in there is because the steam, the dinder abanan, that we still consider it as if it's there. But we don't have a dinder abanan on an oven, only on our pots. And therefore, technically speaking, if you waited 24 hours, then your oven automatically becomes parv in the same way as the Torah would have done that for our pots if it weren't for the fact that Chazal or Gozer against us doing that. But for our ovens, it actually would then become parv. And therefore, technically speaking, after 24 hours, every oven technically is kashered and can be used for anything. Those are technically okay, not recommended. The reason why it's not recommended is for the obvious reason of the two obvious reasons. Number one, your oven has to be clean for that to be true. If all that we're dealing with is the taste that's absorbed in the top of your oven, so 24 hours later, that taste doesn't exist anymore. But ovens are not always perfectly clean. There are splatterings and actual sometimes mamashas of whatever was cooked there that ends up on the side there. So you'd have to make sure that it was actually clean, and you actually have to remember when was the last time that you had cooked in it. So, but technically speaking, if you know that you have a clean oven and it's been more than 24 hours since you cooked anything in it, the oven is actually parv. L'chatchila, that's the din. It's not recommended because it's just tough to keep track of. But if you can keep track of it, it is al pi halacha. It is fine. And then to kasher it, you know, would be simply if you waited 24 hours. You know, you turn it on to the highest setting for 20, 30 minutes, or Yossi Berger would hold, that's already sufficient. Since anyway, LP din, it's already kashered. It doesn't have the dinder abanan, it's already fine. So you want to kasher it, and then you could cook it uncovered as whatever you'd like to cook. You want to make a cheesecake.
You have to wait 24 hours.
So the 24 hours is because that's what takes care of. If you're going to kasher it
right.
With a self-cleaning oven, you don't have to wait. If you want to just turn it on to the.
20 minutes.
Yeah, so then you need to wait 24 hours. The self-cleaning is the Libun Gomor, so that totally takes care of everything. Therefore, even if the tam is still in there, you're burning it out.
Yeah.
That's what would be with
literally milchik and fleishik. So therefore, with our pizza wheels, just as far as what I told my cousin, so a pizza wheel, so it's completely covered in dough, and all the cheese and the stuff is, and the sauce is actually inside. That's how they made these particular pizza wheels. So his was a bidyevet situation. He didn't put it in their lechatchila. So you want to know what's the status of his oven. So I told him the status of your oven is totally fine. Because pizza wheels thrown into an oven for a microwave are not going to create a tremendous amount of steam. And it had been way more than 24 hours by the time he asked me the question, which was on Sunday from his Thursday night pizza wheel making days. So I don't think there would have been a problem with pizza wheels anyway, because it had been way more than 24 hours since his wife had cooked anything. So she had the baby on Monday and he's making his dinner on Thursday. No one had used the oven for 24 hours. So to say that it was so dirty and there was enough dirt, there's really b'di'evet, we would say that there's not going to be any problem at all. The pizza wheels are fine, the oven is fine, it doesn't need to be kashered, and everything is certainly fine in that situation. Had he made something with a lot more sauce, he made a lasagna of something uncovered, that might have been a little bit more of an issue. Even then, just even that b'di'evet, since he made it more than 24 hours after the last thing that had been cooked in there, would have probably also been fine also. And since he was asking the question more than 24 hours since then, probably wouldn't have to do much to kasher. It would have been easy for him to kasher it anyway, even if he would have needed it. What's relevant with all of this is cooking power foods. This is all when you're going literally from milk to meat. Even when you're going from milk to meat, ovens, again, as I mentioned, are much less stringent than pots because of the fact that nothing comes into contact. What that therefore means is when you're doing parv, then it becomes actually really simple. And all the things which were technically okay but not recommended are actually fine. The only reason they weren't recommended when you're actually dealing with milchix following a fleishix cooking, but if you're only dealing with parv, then they actually become fine, which means that if you're baking a parv solid food, you're making a cake in a meat oven. Let's say you cooked your meat Friday morning, you made your meat, and now you want to bake a sponge cake in your oven, and you want it to be parv. And you want to serve it with milchix on Moshe Shabbos and Shemalava Malka. So are you allowed to cook your parv sponge cake in your fleishik oven 20 minutes after your roast comes out, and you're doing it l'shem yuchud kushe brichu to serve it your Shemalava Malka, that's milchix? So the answer is absolutely. Because your parv sponge cake is not going to emit any steam. And since even for milchix, mamish milchix, you'd be allowed to do that technically speaking, because there's no steam that comes out of your parv cake, so there's no problem. We don't like to do that, since you just cooked within 24 hours. You shouldn't do the lechatchil if it was a milchik cake. But it's a parv cake, so the parv cake does not absorb, there's nothing that's going to happen to the parv cake, and it remains totally fine to actually then eat with your malava malka, which is going to be milchik on Motzei Shabbos, or if you want to bake your challah on Friday afternoon after having made your meat earlier, that challah also remains parv, and it is not a problem to serve with milk.
But if you cooked it at the same time?
Same time is a different story. So the same time gets into the recha issue and as well as that. So lechatchila you shouldn't do that. Bidyevet we would say you could do that also. There you have minhagim not to do it. Mm-hmm. People don't. Al pidin, the Gemara concludes that recha and zeir are lav milsehi. But if you were stuck and you had no other challah that you could serve and you needed to, we would say it's fine. But if you actually cook them together, we would first lechatchila tell you not to, and if you didn't really need it, because it's the whole thing in the world, tell you not to serve it for milchix. If you were stuck, you could.
No, but it shouldn't be considered fleisha.
Right. So in other words, that's what I'm saying. In other words, al pi din, the challah is still parv. But that's at the end of the day. If you were stuck, like when the halacha talk, like you're talking to somebody who has no other bread and their meal is bread and they're supposed to eat like they have nothing else, it's still parv. But that's like at the end of the day.
Like you make your challah at the same time as you had a roast in the oven.
So you should not.
Putting your kids on French toast.
Yeah, you should. So in other words, so that's where we would come to this very funny area where al pi din, yes, it's fine.
If the meat is covered, then it
wouldn't
be.
If the meat is covered, then it's for sure okay.
I'm saying the meat was open.
It's for sure okay. But lechatchila, for sure you shouldn't do that. And it would be, if you had other stuff to serve them, if you were in a situation like, they're going crazy, technically speaking, it's fine. But that's already, like we, in kashrus, we have all these levels of like lechatchila, then we have b'dievish lechatchila, but at the end of the day, that challah remains par, because the Gemara paskins that the Recha lav milsehi and the Zeyas lav milsehi, we don't deal with that. But that's literally where you have nothing else, it's fine. But it would not be recommended to make French if they were cooked at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Does it depend if it's an old oven and more of an advanced, like, does that make a difference nowadays?
So the discussion is whether or not the area is small enough to create the zeh. Our ovens are generally considered small enough that they're still considered small. But you're talking, you're still on a l'chatchila level now, it's like cooking them simultaneously?
Right, no, like in the apartments in Washington Heights, I get questions all the time from my kids, and I'm sitting there going, how bad, how dirty is the oven?
So they're like toast ovens.
No, it's not. Oh, the ovens in the Heights? No.
Is that a wall oven?
Yeah, it's one of those combo ovens. And
they're old.
There's also problems with ovens that are attached to each other, one on top of another.
Because where the stuff goes through?
Right. You have to have like one of those little hashgacha stickers saying that it doesn't pass through.
Uh-huh.
So, but, I don't know. So it doesn't make a difference, you're saying. It just has to be cleaned out.
We view them as small. In other words, we would view them as if it's... If the food gives off steam, that we don't generally deal with ovens today as if they're ventilated and big enough that there won't be a steam problem no matter what. We don't do that.
Can you covered in the oven?
Yes. Yeah. If they're both covered.
No,
they don't need to be double wrapped. I mean, I'm sure you. I don't know. I'm sure there are those who would say they do need to be double wrapped with a sticker on it.
There are those who say you can't put your whole stuff down on a counter.
Yeah, but the main thing is you're keeping the steam in. As long as the steam is staying in, so then there's no problem. So if the single wrapping keeps it in, the reason why all the kosher agencies would always say to double wrap it is because it's so easy to get holes and say, you know, like that's what happens. But if you're in your kitchen, you know, like when they're dealing with these big, you know, productions, so you got to be careful. But the goal is to keep the steam in. So if a single wrapping of foil keeps the steam in, then there isn't any problem. But the double wrapping generally comes from, as far as steam goes, that's, you know, keeping it in your, as long as the steam stays in, that's really where the issue is.
There's something covered, and you just want to uncover. You know, you want to see the status of it.
So technically, you know, that's where all these things, like when we say like not recommended, is because the reality is in our kitchen, those things happen.
So
let's say you're cooking something milchik like the lasagna in your technical fleishig oven, then yeah, that's where the concern. But even again, but the real concern with ovens is still, let's say that happened. You say like, oh, now what happened to my lasagna? The concern is the steam went up, absorbed the time, recondensed, and fell back into your lasagna. So if you know that you picked it up and you look at it, you cover it back up again, you know, I don't think that we would really, Lamaisa, have a problem with that, because it's not just that steam came out of your milchika oven. Now, what would happen to your oven if you had within 24 hours cooked an open meat? Is then you'd have to deal with your oven, which now is absorbed both at the same time, and then you'd have to wait 24 hours and kosher it. But as far as the lasagna would go, even if you did that right away, that it wouldn't oser the lasagna. Unless you saw driplets fall. No, that doesn't happen. Like that?
People like labeled it like, oh, it was meat equipment.
Yeah. That goes with eating it with the other food. In other words, if you made, well, we talk about, I don't want to, but if you made noodles, let's say, in a meat pot, everything is part of, can I make that with my noodles and cheese then? No. Well, I mean, it's pertaining to the pot that it was cooked in, not the oven.
Right, just because it was cooked in the oven.
Yeah, that would not change the status. Yeah, that would not define. No, that's talking about the container, the kli that the stuff was cooked in. That's right. Yeah.
So the last line, uncovered liquid part. Like, so if you cook uncovered liquid part in the meat oven, it becomes actual heat. Like, it will make you.
Right. If it was steam emitting. Yeah. If it was liquidy stuff, and you had within 24 hours, another that you would have, because that's the classic case of the steam within the two steam things after another. You made your roast, and then you made a pyre of whatever you made. So you made a salmon.
Yeah.
So salmon is. I was actually a bad example. Because salmon is a. There we don't deal with fish and meat is not a tom issue. It's only the actual fish and the meat, not tom fish with tom meat. I don't know. Soy milk based vegetables, yeah. Right, if it's very steamy, then you have to treat it like fleishig. If it was within 20... I don't know, whatever you make, I don't know. All right, have a great evening. Yeah. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down.
He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.